This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we're a week into training camp, and I think we finally are starting to see what we think are going to be some answers as far as what these young guys are doing, how they're going to fit into the Chiefs roster, the starting lineup. I'm very excited that we're starting to get some answers. And I'm also really interested. I'm really, really ready to see these guys suit up here in, in a couple weeks now to start playing in the preseason here. How are you feeling after a week in the camp?
It's going to be sooner rather than later. We're almost the doorstep of August, man, which is right. Crazy. So they have Saturday and Sunday practice this week. And then that's it for the weekend practices, just three of them, because that preseason game
right. The
following weekend. So it's crazy to think about. But, you know, this team is ready to go. I mean, it was kind of evident when Andy Reid, which usually has the quarterbacks and receivers, you know, show up a couple days early. He's always done that. It's always quarterback and receivers, you know, report, show up to camp. And then 3 days later, you know, the rest of the team comes. But he felt confident in that continuity between receivers and quarterback because they, you know, played together. And he talked about Jalen Royals, the rookie draft pick from the Chiefs, where he picked up the offense, and he's a smart guy, and he could throw things at him, and he'd pick it up. And you know, I think all that's huge. I think all that's huge, what Andy Reid said, because he said that he was, like, slowly putting in formations, you know, throughout the season and stuff. But these guys know it because they're all coming back. And then Jalen Royals is kind of the new guy to the mix. Like, Jalen Royals is the new guy to the mix. And he's doing well. He's picking it up. I mean, it's one reason they like Juju, because he's been around here. He knows the system. Andy Reid's not an easy offense. The offensive line situation is an interesting one because it's the most important thing. And obviously Josh Simmons, who's getting every chance in the world to be left tackle if he works out. In my opinion, Brett Veach has three great moves as a GM. I mean, he's got many of them. But the Orlando Brown deal, bringing in Nick Bolton, you know, because they had to have a left tackle. Say what you want about Orlando Brown, you had to make that move, and he got it from a rival. And obviously, Honey Badger retiring, that was my honorable mention because he really changed the culture of the defense when he was here.
He really like created a new mold for safety in the league.
I talked about that last Friday on the drive, that he created a position that they look for at the combine. Can he play safety? Can he play nickel? Can he play
that star?
And he was it. He was it. And so Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward, clearly, when you took him, flipped him for a starter cornerback. But the number one to me was when he grabbed Butker off the practice squad of the Panthers. That was they liked him and Tobe liked him at the combine, right? And they had Graham Gano, and they brought him in here. And I don't think they'd have three rings if they didn't have the consistency of kicker. But if Josh Simmons works out, that will be his best move. I mean, hands down to him, wasn't wild about it when they made the pick, but I want to see him do well now. I was just concerned about the injury. But, man, I'm telling you, he's been blown away how tough he is and resilient. And, you know, let the pads get on and things like that. I mean, Jalen Moore showing his versatility. We knew he could move to the right side if he wanted. Hell, Jalen Moore could be a guard if you wanted him to. That recruited as a tight end when he went to Western Michigan. He's got the versatility. But Yeah, I mean, all things are good, and obviously they took a tackle last year in Kingsley in the second round, and they're putting him a guard this year, and you and I both think he's well-suited for guard because of how big he is and how he can move down the field and how versatile of a player and athlete that he is, that might be his home. But they had to go out and get another left tackle this year in the first round because they didn't have one, so it's Josh Simmons. It's got to work out. Like, it doesn't need to work out. It has to work out.
So, if you guys haven't heard, Josh Simmons has basically been taking all the snaps at left tackle one on the first team offense, and that's not what I think either of us expected. No. When Juwan Taylor would be back at right tackle. We thought. Now we did say
that best was Juwan case, battling for position.
That's what I'm saying. We did talk about the best case scenario is Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor battle for right tackle one. And Josh Simmons is locked in at left tackle one. Now, again, it's early. It's only a weekend of practice. They just started wearing pads this weekend. So I want us to temper the expectation just a tiny bit because we saw what happened last
year.
He's
not Anthony Munoz yet.
We don't know that.
He's not Anthony Munoz yet.
But, I mean, everything that we heard about him over the weekend, rave reviews, a lot of the media that were out there loved what they saw from him.
He's throwing around gelati, man, in 101.
Yeah, I saw Nate Taylor talk about this. I saw, former Chiefs guard Jeff Allen say, after he watched him this weekend, he was like.
And that's huge endorsement
there. He was like, future All-Pro loading. Yeah. He tweeted that out this weekend.
Hey, man, here's the deal, Chris. They had three Pro Bowlers on their line last year. Two All-Pros, first teams, in Tooney, right, and Creed Humphrey. And obviously Smith made the Pro Bowl too. You had that set. You had Juwan Taylor, the one ring for you. So clearly, not many offensive lines have three Pro Bowlers. They just don't. And furthermore, not many offensive lines have two first-team All-Pros. They just don't. And then you look at the Chiefs. Why did the Chiefs have a problem on the offensive line? What was it? Well, left tackle is it. It's no mystery. It's left tackle. I consider that one of the top four positions in football. It was clear what the Chiefs need. This team is in their championship window. As long as you have Mahomes, you're in your window. They still got Kelsey for another year. It had to work out. The free agent market for tackles wasn't that great. Jalen Moore is one of the best ones that were out there, and the guy hadn't really started much. Josh Simmons had to be a guy. And not only that, the Chiefs, if he works out, man, again, Brett Veach's best move, if he works out, because he was going to be left tackle one. And they get him at the end of the draft in the first round. That's if he works out what Brett Veach did to the rest of the NFL, that's depancing them. That's trusting your doctors, trusting what you believe in for why you should draft a player when other teams had a chance too. There's a lot of other teams that could have used a left tackle. And they did their homework on him and they decided to pass on it. The Chiefs took a chance on it and might be a home run.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a great, like I said, rave reviews have coming out about him over the weekend there. You brought up how, earlier today at camp, he had a rep against Ashton Gelati and he put him on his ass.
Poor Gelati, man.
He tried to go speed to power and, I don't think that's a good idea against Simmons.
He just tossed him, man.
And he literally just tossed him. And he also had good reps against Charles Omenihu. Omenihu tried to bull rush him, didn't work on two reps that he tried against him. It's early. I want to temper expectations. According to Jordan Schultz, I think he's formerly now of Fox Sports, the Chiefs, according to people in the organization, the Chiefs are planning to make him their starter at left tackle week one. I don't want this to be a situation where it is Kingsley Suamataia all over again. So I really hope that what the media has been seeing and what the Chiefs have seen all summer, I really hope that that's what we see when they take the field.
It's a great
in Brazil.
Point you're bringing up because we heard a lot of the same thing about Kingsley last year, right?
Not quite as much.
But there
in
was
that this
Move
level,
Wanya, Kingsley,
but
the
there
new
was
starter.
There he was starts, a lot. There was a lot of people that were like, okay, we found our LT.
Well, he started game one, remember?
Yeah, no, he started the first two.
Yeah, he started. But here's the thing, Chris. And what Andy Reid typically does, I mean, he's not real wishy-washy. He's just not. That's one thing to remember about him. I remember a couple years ago in Trey Smith's rookie year, You know, they drafted him in the sixth round, and we clearly knew he had more talent than being a sixth-round pick, and clearly it's proved out. He's the highest-paid guard in the National Football League and was a sixth-rounder, which is crazy what Veach is doing. He's drafting all these guys. Think about this. Chris Jones, highest-paid defensive tackle, not a first-rounder. Harrison Butker, highest-paid kicker, seventh-rounder. Trey Smith, highest-paid guard, sixth-rounder. Creed Humphrey, top-paid center, second-rounder. And I get it. Veach didn't draft Chris Jones, but he was part of the – he was the SEC scout for the Chiefs. The bottom line is, Brett Veach is drafting players, and they're throwing them and getting big contracts the most in the NFL. I mean, it's four positions there in the NFL, the highest paid, and it's what he continually does. You know, Creed Humphrey, he's not a second-rounder. He's a first-rounder, but he got him in the second round. It was a home run for Brett Veach. Think about this offense, Chris. How many first-rounders? You got Mahomes? Well, clearly Simmons. If Simmons starts, that's a first-rounder. Hollywood Brown, if, you know, he's the starting nine, that's not worthy. And Rashee Rice. But if Hollywood Brown's out there with the starting unit, he's a first-round pick. But again, maybe he's not, quote, a starter in the game. They could be looking at 9 out of 11 players being non-first-rounders, which is insanity for being a team that's gone to 3 straight Super Bowls. You have 2 starters on offense that are first-round picks. That means you're just doing it well in other rounds in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, they really seem to find a lot of value outside of round one. So aside from Josh Simmons, another player on the offensive side that is kind of making waves is Jalen Royals, the wide receiver out of Utah State, 4th-round pick for the Chiefs there. He's basically been taking most of his reps with the ones, and he has been getting a lot of playing time when they've taken Rashee Rice out, which is, I think, very interesting because that tells me that, you know, with the looming Rashee Rice suspension happening, that, you know, maybe they view Jalen Royals in the same way as far as the same roles that Rashee Rice plays.
They're tough, gritty players, man.
Yeah, and so I really think that, and, you know, I told you this last month, that I was more excited about Jalen Royals going into this year than I was about Xavier Worthy going into last year, because I thought that it would probably take a little bit for Worthy to get going. Yeah. And, you know, it did take him a little bit, but he was there a little bit faster than I thought he was going to be. You look at Jalen Royals right now, and he certainly has a lot less pressure than Worthy did, because Worthy very quickly had to go and be a contributor because of injuries and whatnot. But you look at Jalen Royals right now, and he's got at least 3 guys ahead of him on the depth chart. You know, 2 to 3, depending. You know, 2 probably if you were looking at the Rashee Rice suspension. I mean, Hollywood and Xavier Worthy, and then it's a battle between him and Juju, and I think they probably split some time there. But I think Jalen Royals probably gets the nod a little bit more just because of youth.
Yeah.
But you look at that situation, and that's a really, really nice situation for the Chiefs
to be in
offensively when Jalen Royals, yep, as a 4th-round receiver, can step in and be a contributor.
It is, but what's it show you about Andy Reid's reliance on rookies? You know, something that's not always been the case. And when you think about it, you know, it's rookie wide receivers. I get it. He'll play other rookies at different positions. But rookie wide receivers having production, we saw Rashee Rice, you know, the 2nd most catches of all in yards of any rookie receiver his rookie year. Only Puka Nacua had more than Rashee. Then you saw the production last year from Xavier Worthy. Now, granted, a lot of production came because he had to step up because Hollywood Brown got hurt and Rashee Rice got hurt. But I would expect more from Jalen Royals, to be honest with you, because Andy Reid has been counting on rookie wide receivers. They're drafting a certain type that can help this team, mature players, smart players that can do it. And I tell you, though, man, like last year, like my respect level for Xavier Worthy has just grown so much because, you know, throughout the season last year at the beginning, you and I obviously liked Worthy from the beginning. He was our first mocked guy to the Chiefs.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, during the college football season in
23. We liked him. I told you, we think he's more than a nine-rounder vertical route guy because he led Texas at receiving yards 3 straight years.
Yeah, and you watch him on tape, like you can see he's much more than a nine-rounder.
That's not by easy. It's not easy. 2 of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns 1 year 2nd. But here's the thing about him. But he was he didn't get it right away, right? Like, it was still that rookie. He was doing rookie stuff. And the placement on the sideline, you know, not keeping your feet in bounds when the quarterback's getting it to you, you know, not fulfilling the
timing route, on his routes.
The timing. Yeah. But you could definitely see, like, he and Mahomes were off there for a bit. But you know what? When those guys get hurt, who knows what Andy Reid said or whatever, but it was like, step up, son, step up. And you know what he did? Because you and I didn't think Xavier would have a ton of pressure because, obviously, Rice is on the team and Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, multiple guys ahead of
him. Which Hollywood Brown's basically the same guy he is, to be honest with you. So we thought, okay, you know, here's basically a guy with the same skill set that he can learn from. But the way that he just, you know, got better and became that dude, and his physicality is getting better and better going forward, but, you know, leading the team and receptions and yards in the postseason, I mean, that showed something, man. And I know he had to be the guy, but you know what? He not only had to be the guy, but he was the guy. It's one thing to say you have to be the guy and they don't do it, but he did. So my respect level for Xavier Worthy went way up. And I think this year you're going to see some really good things because the guy showed a lot of toughness last year as a rookie, and now year two, I'm expecting him to continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah, and let's not forget Travis Kelce as well. He's probably going to play mostly, almost exclusively receiver as opposed to tight end. So even, you know, with Rashee Rice, you know, presumably being out for, I don't know, a month or so at the beginning of the season, I mean, you're talking about someone who's going to be productive in addition to Hollywood, in addition to Xavier Worthy, and maybe even Jalen Royals as well. So I think it's a really good sign that you've got Jalen Royals immediately there with the ones. And also, your guy, Tyquan Thornton, he's taking the jump over Jake Brennestal as the camp darling for the receiving core. Tyquan Thornton has really stepped his game up, and he's been a guy that we've heard something about him pretty much every day at practice. And I got to say this, I think at this point now, it's almost looking like, it's early, but looking like he's probably, like, pretty sure a lock to make the team in some capacity.
Our guy Nate Taylor, you know, was on Cody and Gold, and he's like, he basically was inferring rap, lock. He said rap. I think it's a rap. He makes the team. Like, Nate Taylor was saying he's making the team. And here's the one thing about Tyquan and Brennestal as far as camp darling. Big difference in my mind in the two guys. Jake comes over undrafted. Tyquan's a former, just a couple years ago, a second-round pick. He was picked 50. In the NFL draft. I mean, that's, you know, remember, Jake wasn't drafted. Tyquan was picked 50.
And Tyquan was like, he was a pretty decent receiver for the Patriots.
When
Mac Jones was still there.
But you know what, though?
Yeah.
There's some teams, Chris, it's kind of like we look at A&M and the way they screw up pass rushers. Maybe the Patriots, it just didn't work out with that system.
Well, they had Mac Jones as a starting quarterback.
But they did. And Juju failed there, too.
Yeah, well, Juju had knee problems.
Well, I know that, but he got in Kansas City and he got better real fast.
Yeah, because he didn't have to play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
But I'm saying he was much better back with the Chiefs than he ever was.
Yeah,
with the
he had more talent around him. He didn't have to play that much.
Much different scenario. But I'm just saying, Tyquan was pick 50. He's incredibly fast. He actually beat John Ross's record. Which was what?
Yeah, but it was an unofficial time.
It was unofficial. So it doesn't really count. But still, it's 4.28.
But it's a great time.
Yeah, you can't sneeze that. But he needed to work on his routes better, learn the tree. He's great at vertical routes and going downfield. But not only that, it's when Mahomes talked about him during minicamp, and then Andy Reid singled him out, and both those guys were talking about him, and even Andy Reid saying that, you know, he's got Mahomes' trust and stuff. That's pretty ringing endorsement with the quarterback and head coach, the two Hall of Famers. Are specifically bringing you up. I think he's on the team.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's going to be a guy that I'm going to be really interested in when they put the twos out there. Yeah. Like when they put the twos out there at wide receiver, him, Jalen Royals, and Elijah Badger to me are the most interesting guys out there.
Like I get it when people talk about him and stuff, Chris, but I mean, I think some people think, you know, sixth round or seventh. No, dude was picked 50, man. I mean, Tyquan was well thought of coming out of the draft. Well thought of.
Yeah, he was a guy that
there was like a stranger.
There was talent out there. It's just you got to tap into it.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they can tap into it and they can get some sort of production out of him. And, you know, maybe we're looking at a scenario where he's wide receiver 4 next year, you know, or even – yeah, like we look at he could be wide receiver 4 going into 26. You know, we'll see.
I mean, you just look at the math. You know, Xavier. Well, the Chiefs have kept 7 receivers last 2 years. They only kept 5 the year before that. But obviously, with the suspension of Rice, it does change the math a bit. And you know, Worthy's on the team. Hollywood Brown's on the team. Rashee Rice is on the team. Juju's on the team.
And the only reason why they kept 5 receivers is because they kept 4 tight ends that year.
So
in 22.
So there's 5 right there. 5 I think are locks. And then I think Nico Romigio is a lock. They love his return game. I mean, they love how much he's progressing. So that's 6. So who's going to be the 7th? Elijah Badgers? No, it's going to be Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, I think Tyquan would get in over Romigio. I think it would be a battle between Romigio and Elijah Badger for that.
But
for
I think Romigio will make the team because he toe blows him.
So, and then before we start getting to our previews, some of these college players – position groups. Defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott has been getting rotated in with the ones at defensive tackle. Neither of us are really surprised by that. I expected him to be in the rotation this year. But Nate Taylor, who's there at camp, you know, had an observation that, he said that Omar Norman Lott is looking the part early in camp. He did have an ankle injury yesterday, but even after he sustained it, he did go back in and practice with the twos.
Keep hearing about his toughness, man.
Yeah, the mobility is a big thing that you hear about a lot. He's actually added weight. Like, he was like 290, I think, when in the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
Now he's up to 315.
Yeah, so. I think it's unfair when people look back at his time. See, he didn't start his last year at Tennessee, and it didn't matter. It was a rotation, 6-man rotation that they used on a defensive line to keep guys fresh. But let's not forget, this guy led football in quarterback sack win rate. I mean, he was
pass rush win rate.
And total win rate. He was number one in both categories. But that just shows his athleticism, meaning when he was out there, he made the most of being out there. Like his reps, like keeping him fresh, it worked for him more normal a lot last year. And the Chiefs and Spags run a lot of rotations here, but he made the absolute best of his opportunities at Tennessee, and that's what I brought up you and me from Character Concerns on the drive last week when I said, well, Chris and I liked this guy a lot. I'm over him a lot. We liked him a lot in college. Because the dude, when he gets a chance, man, you know who he is. You know who he is.
Yeah, like I said, he's going to be, to me, the most interesting prospect on the defensive side of the ball, especially in preseason. I definitely want to see him go up against some NFL interior linemen, see what he does when he gets one-on-ones against those guys.
Well, he called Creed Humphrey a brick wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and here's the thing. He's not going to get a whole lot of double teams in pass rush situations because the way that they split their defensive tackles. But, I mean, he's definitely going to be somebody, I think, you know, it's going to be, I think, really interesting if he can establish himself as a very good pass rusher early on, especially when they blitz. He's going to be a problem, I think. If he gets one-on-one and they send it, like they send Nick Bolton up the middle and the center's got to account for him, that's going to be a big problem for defenses. So, like I said, I'm really excited about what he can be
every day, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That just makes him better.
Yeah, yeah. More than likely, he's going to be going up against like Suamataia and a lot of those reps with the ones. But it is going to be, I think, really interesting to see what they do, move him around a lot, and see what kind of versatility he brings because he does have good mobility. You know, maybe they try him out at edge on a few snaps here and there just to kind of add to the versatility. Norman Lott to me is someone that I was very excited about going into the draft as a potential option for the Chiefs. Obviously, you know, with him being on the team now, I mean, everything that we've seen from him thus far kind of gets your hopes up.
Well, here's his actual numbers. Pass rush win rate, 12.6%, and win percentage, 18.9%, which is really high. That led any interior defensive lineman in FBS. That just shows, like, when you can beat them in not only one category, but two in all of college football, I think you're doing something right.
So, moving on to our college football watch list for the season. We're going to do three position groups on this episode. These are going to be your offensive position groups.
We're less than a month, Chris.
Yeah, I know. We're getting close, man. So we gotta get y'all started on the previews here. Starting out with quarterback. Quarterback is going to be really interesting this year because I actually think we have a pretty good class of quarterbacks. I think at the very least, we're probably looking at three guys going in the first round. But I think it's very possible we could see 4 to 6.
I think 4 right now is a safe.
I think 4 is the safe number.
I would have like Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning, Drew Aller, and I would have Lenore Sellers.
Here's the guys I'm 100% sure are going to be first round picks. I'm very sure. Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, Carson Beck. I think those are your first round picks for sure.
You don't think Arch is for sure?
No, because like here's the thing.
Oh.
First off, we don't even know if Arch is going to be in the draft next year.
That's true.
Because I remember you 2 years ago were talking about Quinn Ewers going into the draft.
That's true.
And he didn't go to the draft
and
until this year.
And Arch couldn't beat him out.
Arch could not beat out Quinn for that starting job. So he would have to take some major steps. And Sark gave him every opportunity.
We'll see how he plays. That job. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Because last year, like, Quinn Ewers, there was a time where, like, you could tell that Sark was kind of done with Quinn, and they tried to give Arch the opportunity to go out there and win it, and he couldn't win it.
Kid Klubnik, I think, is also a first-rounder.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's
pretty
guaranteed.
So I don't think Arch right now. If I had to put money on it, I would not bet. I would bet that Arch Manning stays another year and goes out in 27 and tries to be the top quarterback.
Well, he might. It's what Mannings do.
So I think Garrett Nussmeier for sure. Garrett Nussmeier is going to be a guy competing for the top quarterback spot, number one overall for sure. I think Drew Aller is going to have a great chance to be number one overall as well. He was a guy that was looking really good, didn't have the best end of the season last year, but he's a guy I definitely think with some big strides this year, if he gets some more help on his in his receiving core, and you know they definitely take advantage of Nick Singleton's abilities as a running back, I think he's got a good chance.
Well, Drew Aller's the reason the Missouri has a quarterback.
Yeah.
Bo Pibrula, because he had that transfer because of Drew coming back.
He wouldn't beat now Drew. And then Carson Beck from Miami is a guy that I'm not personally sold on, but scouts love him. he was a guy that you were hearing first round hype on all the way throughout the season, even though the production wasn't matching there. And now he is
not
in Miami. I'm not feeling it either, but I think he's in Miami. I think he's in a better situation than what he was at as far as, like, talent goes.
Yeah, look what they did to Cam Ward.
Yeah. I mean, they got Cam Ward drafted in the number one overall. So, like, they've got some talent there. And I think that Carson Beck is going to have the opportunity to go out there and really kind of light things up and definitely kind of work his way into the first round. And then, like you brought up, Cade Klubnik, the quarterback at Clemson. Midway through the year last year, he really kind of turned his game on and was one of the best quarterbacks the second half of the season.
He came out of high school at Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and it was first-round talk about him from day one.
Yeah,
and then it
took a while because he was really hyped coming out of Texas, but he was not really that great early on. Early on, he was just kind of your run-of-the-mill college quarterback.
Last year was great.
But, yeah, middle of the year last year, he flipped a switch. And, yeah, going into this year, I mean, don't be shocked if Klubnik ends up being the top quarterback taken in this year's class.
He's a stud.
But, yeah, I right now I've got four guys. I've got three guys for sure, I'm certain. And then, yeah, don't sleep on Klubnik. I'm not quite there on Lenoris Sellers. Lenoris Sellers, to me, seems...
I am. I'm on Lenoris for
my sure. My thing with Lenoris Sellers is it's similar to what we've seen with like, Jalen Milroe and Anthony Richardson, where it's like the talent is there, but he's got to put it together as a passer. You know what I'm saying? It's like when Cam Ward went to Miami, it was like we knew that he had the tools. He just needed to be in a prime school, in a prime situation. And what was it like? Very quickly, I was like, okay, yeah, Cam Ward's the best. After what he did to my Florida Gators, I was like, oh yeah, Cam Ward's the best quarterback.
Well, I like
in this
what
class.
He did at Washington State. I was so low.
Yeah, head. Yeah, but like as far as like being the top quarterback,
Kyle Williams left and right.
Yeah, as far as him being the top quarterback though, that didn't happen until he was at Miami. And you know, and then you look at like Michael Penix Jr., where it was like, okay, really, really talented, but often hurt when he was at Indiana. He goes to Washington, has a great year, and all of a sudden now he changes people's minds. But he was a talent. He was a very talented player that we hadn't quite seen take that next step. Now you look at Sellers, and it's the same thing for me with him. It's like he has talent. Does he go the way of Milroe or Richardson, where it's like he doesn't quite live up to the hype, but he gets drafted on traits? Or is he a guy that We know he's got some talent, and then he actually shows it his last year in college. That's the reason why I'm not sold on him as a first-round guy right now. But I do think he has first-round talent. It's just, is he going to be someone that his team tries to, like, avoid having him throw the ball too much? Or is he going to be the gunslinger that's lacing it out there 40, 50 times a game, and you're seeing him, you know, push for 300 yards a game every game? That, to me, is going to be the interesting thing about Sellers. But I do think he is an interesting player. Sam Leavitt is another one. That kid, Arizona State quarterback.
Yeah.
That kid, a lot of talent. A lot of people are talking about him as kind of a dark horse-type quarterback. Not quite sure he's a first-round pick. I think he's probably a day-two guy. But if he has a really strong start to the year, he's going to be injected into that Heisman candidacy. Because it's not like the Big 12 has a whole lot of great arms out there.
No.
So he's going to be injected in there, and all of a sudden you're going to be looking at him and Arizona State potentially making a nice run in the college football playoff for sure. Other names we put down here, Nico Iamaleava, the transfer quarterback from Tennessee, now at UCLA. Arm talent is great. Didn't quite put it together last year. And then John Mateer at OU, Miller Moss, former five-star quarterback, originally USC, now he's at Louisville, and Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, and then Jackson Arnold.
And
from
Haynes
Auburn.
King is more of a gritty type dude.
Yeah,
you know, one guy that's on this list that I definitely have high hopes for is Fernando Mendoza, quarterback at Indiana.
Yeah,
6'5", big physical quarterback, a pocket passer, transferred from Cal, but. Don't sleep on Mendoza.
Mendoza's a guy, yeah. He was on a lot of transfer lists, like top transfers to look out for.
But I like him.
Size wise, he definitely is gonna be like he's
6'5", like 240.
Yeah, he would definitely be in talks for round one right now if this was like 15 years ago. If they'd be looking at him the same way they looked at like Blaine Gabbert when he was at Mizzou, where it's like, okay, he's got the body we like. You know, can he go out there and show it with his performance that he's a top guy? But I think now with teams kind of not really caring so much about the size of quarterbacks, you don't want to be too small generally, but you don't really care if your guy's 6'5", 250 pounds. You kind of want to make sure that he's got some mobility in him. It's going to be interesting to see what guys like him do.
Taylor Green out of Arkansas would be another guy that,
yeah,
6'6" and dual threat.
Yeah, again, it's like there's a lot of guys like him out there where it's like ton of talent. Can he put it together and have a good campaign? Because I mean, last year we saw a lot of quarterbacks that we thought could be first round picks. You know, like. Was it Wigman? Wigman, the kid at A&M who ended up transferring at the end of the year.
The more quarterbacks we have, which we're going to get more, then it helps the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It helps the Chiefs because these teams are throwing darts at quarterbacks.
Right.
The Chiefs don't need one, so it means some other player is going to be there that would be taken in the first round if it wasn't for all the great quarterbacks. But I like this class.
Like I said, I think at least three, but I could see 4 to 6. Klubnik, I think, could play his way into the first round. I think Leva could play his way into the first round.
And definitely Arch can, too.
And Arch can, but I think Arch, I'm putting money on, I think he probably stays another year. I just, to me, it's like nowadays with NIL being what it is and with there being more experienced guys out there, I'm not. And on top of that, like, you know, Texas has lost a lot of talent.
Hey, Neil helps, man.
It helps.
It's the one thing that people, I don't think, firmly grasp. It's like the whole Shamar Stewart thing. We ended up signing with the Bengals because they had the last first-round pick signed the last 2 years. People forget they're not as desperate as what once was, you know, because they already have that money in pocket.
Right, but if you can get, you know, a lot of those guys, though, have been going. I mean, Matthew Golden wasn't a guy that people thought would go as high at the beginning of the year.
First round is different, but when fourth and fifth rounders have,
oh, yeah, they're
have
not
a million
there. Yeah,
in their
but
pocket
like,
from nil, they want to go back.
Right, but like Texas lost their two best pass catchers last year in the draft.
Which so. I think helps the NFL, to be honest with you, having guys that are ready to go
more. Right. Yeah, I think so, too. But, yeah, like they lost their two best pass catchers, and then you have question marks about, you know, Is he really that dude? Because he wasn't able to beat out Quinn Ewers, and Quinn Ewers has not really been that great.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I'm a little skeptical on Arch right now. He absolutely has every opportunity to prove me wrong and live up to the hype that some
people
are placing
him a lot with text.
Oh yeah, no, he'll be on they'll be on TV all the
time.
And
you can play tough competition, so yeah, you can really find out a lot about the guy.
Yeah. So moving on to running back, not quite as deep as what we saw last year, but still a good running back class. Starting out with Jeremiah Love, the running back of Notre Dame, seems to be the top running back in this class right now, according to a lot of people there. Justice Haynes, running back at Alabama, which, you know, running back at Alabama, yeah. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. But Jeremiah Love, by the way, I absolutely love the way he plays.
Yeah.
He's putting up big-time numbers. He's, you know, 6 foot. Over 200 pounds. I mean, I like him a lot.
Good size. And that's one of the things you're kind of seeing about a lot of these guys is, like, you're starting to see some of the guys get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Most of these guys are, like, right around 6 foot. You're not seeing quite as many of the real small guys, but you are seeing some. Mekhi Hughes, Oregon running back there. He is in that, you know, right around 6 foot range, a little bit over 200 pounds. Amarian Peterson.
And Mekhi transferred from, he was like the seventh leading rusher in the nation last year.
Yes.
With that Tulane.
Yes. He was very, very good at Tulane. Dan Lanning was able to get him to transfer up to Eugene.
Back to back, like 1,400 yard years. He had 1,400 one year, like 15 the next. I mean, dude's a stud.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think you look at Mekhi, it's like he's for sure playing 1 year at Oregon and he's jumping into the draft. For sure. I mean, unless something happens injury-wise, he's for sure going.
1,378 and 1,401 in back-to-back years. Over 5.3 in both, but he had 15 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Added 19 catches for 176 yards. Mekhi's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah. Amarian Peterson at USC. Another 6 foot running back there. Got a lot of size to him. Daytrell Jones at Boston College. Bit of a smaller guy, about 5'9", in the 180 range. And another guy, local kid, is Dylan Edwards, running back out of K-State. He's also really small, listed at 5'9".
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
In 167.
Played at Colorado his first year.
I think he's probably going to end up. I bet you he when they measure him at the combine, he's going to be like 5'7", maybe 5'8". Like, I don't think he's 5'9". He does not look like he's 5'9" when you see him out there. He's really small.
Sixth or seventh round potential.
I think he's a late round guy. I think the size is going to work against him. But I do think he's going to have a really good year for K-State. But 167-pound running back, who I think is probably 5'7". He looks like he's a little bit bigger than Deuce Vaughn was. I'm thinking he's probably going to be a late day three pick. But I think he could be good value for whoever brings him in. Jeremiah Cobb, running back out of Auburn there, might have a nice year there with him and Jackson Arnold. Roderick Robinson II out of Georgia, another really interesting running back option. Trey Hawley out of Miami. Jaden Ott, running back out of Cal, was a guy that I was hearing a lot about last year. It was actually one of the better overall performers on the year at running back. And then Nick Singleton, I think Singleton might be a little underrated. I think Singleton's going to have a great year. And don't be shocked if he ends up challenging Jeremiah Love for that top running back spot this year.
For his size, man, he's 230-pound back.
He's big. He's real big. He's got some wheels on him. A little bit more of a downhill runner, but once he gets up to speed, he's going to be someone that's going to be real tough. I'll tell you, if they can figure out their receiving core, because you know they thought that they were going to get more from like Julian Fleming, who's a 5-star receiver, didn't quite pan out for them at Penn State. If they can get some more help from their receiving core, I think Drew Aller's going to have a hell of a year, and I think you're talking he's going to be in conversation for number one overall. And then DeMond Claiborne, running back out of Wake Forest. And then Bryson Washington out of Baylor as well. Those are guys to watch out for. Obviously, like, you know, with the running backs, there's going to be guys that come out of nowhere and end up working their way up. There's going to be guys that are going to be, you know, thought to be a little bit lesser. And then, you know, they, I mean, like Dylan, people weren't talking about Dylan Sampson as much as they were. And he ended up falling in the draft anyways. What did he fall to, like round five, I think? So, but a lot of people thought he was like going to be a round two guy.
I like Dylan.
But, you know, Dylan Sampson, very, very talented running back there when he was at Tennessee. There's going to be some guys that fly up boards this year. Running back, I think, is one of those positions where, I mean, really, if you see one great year out of a guy, that's going to be enough to get him drafted well, because it's a position that transitions so quickly.
I think the Chiefs are going to be in position to get one of these guys this year. And we said, just like we said last year, but you got to think Kareem Hunt play this year. I doubt he's on this roster in 2 years. Isaiah Pacheco, where are we replacing that?
Yeah, I think he's gone a year from now.
And Burchard, yeah. Kind of undersized, but I think clearly the Chiefs could be in position to draft a running back this year.
Very possible. I would not put it past them to try to see what they could do with Burchard Smith either, just because we know how Andy Reid thinks. And
but if any year, I could definitely see the Chiefs taking a stab at one.
I could see one. I could definitely see it. Depends on the needs, but running back is a position to watch out for. And then wide receiver, we say this every year. You know, they should. You should probably look at wide receiver regardless of where you take one.
Next year is the big year for it. Not this coming draft, the year after that.
Next year is the big one. But this year still got a good class there. You got Malachi Fields at Notre Dame, Aaron Anderson, LSU, Carnell Tate, who I think probably, I mean, looks like he could very well be the best of this class out of Ohio State. Ohio State really has kind of become wide receiver U for at the collegiate level. Cassius Howell at A&M.
Keep in mind, the best one is this true sophomore, Jeremiah Smith.
So. Yeah, Jeremiah Smith and then Ryan Williams right after him out of Alabama. But neither of those guys is draft eligible this year because they're true sophomores.
Evan Stewart's interesting at Oregon.
He's a guy that we've talked about for last 2 years.
We liked him last year, but now without Ted, he's the dude. I mean, he is the dude for that team.
He was the – here's the thing. He was the dude at the beginning of the year, and then he got overtaken. And so, because like early in the year, Evan Stewart was the one that was getting all the reps out there. And then slowly but surely, he started to lose those targets. So I'm really interested to see what he does, because, you know, you'd think like, oh, if he's, and actually, no. I think Evan Stewart, I thought I heard he got hurt. Maybe I'm crazy here. I could have sworn that I saw that he was, I thought he was injured. Yes.
Tore
his patellar tendon. Yes, in June. He did tear his patellar tendon. Don't know what the recovery
is. Well, he's going to miss most of the season.
Probably going to miss most of the year. And so I wonder if he's going to get a medical red shirt and end up waiting until 27, which unfortunate, because that's a year of lost time for him, and that means it's basically 2 years he's gonna have to wait instead of one. So, you know, that's unfortunate there. Maybe he gets back on the field, plays well enough to earn his way into the to earn a spot somewhere day two.
A couple of these guys, Berrion Brown is a guy that interests me. Not a ton of huge production in Kentucky before he transferred to
really
LSU,
talented,
but it'll be at LSU this year. They transferred from Kentucky, but high speed guy. Some are saying it could be around 4.27, 4.28 type guy.
He was a guy that a lot of people thought could be 4.3, if not a little faster.
And the other one, Nick Harbor, he's interesting to me because he's 6'5", 235 pounds, and he's a very, very physical receiver that I think gets a lot more run with Lawrence there.
Harbor's been one of the top guys on the freaks list that the Athletic puts out every year.
Because he's fast. He's not just the big guy.
He's big he's fast.
He's gonna run a 4.56 at the combine now. It's gonna be a lot less than that.
He hasn't been super productive at South Carolina thus far, but this is gonna be a big year.
He was Lenoris.
We talked about Lenoris, and you know, Lenoris got a ton of talent but hasn't put it together yet. Can him and Harbor become a really great duo in the SEC?
I'm looking forward to it, man. A bit physical guy, man. I like watching him play.
Yeah, like I said, he's big. He just hasn't been very productive, hasn't quite developed
his game.
But you don't
want to be too big.
You don't want to be too big because then you become a tight end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's like right on the fringe there. If he can, he kind of like, if he can be like a old school, like 2000s type X receiver, where you just line him up on an island and just say, hey, we're going to throw the ball up to you. You're going to win it.
DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Pass. Yeah. Like a Megatron, Mike Evans, you know, type of guy.
But he's quick.
Hakeem Nicks type of guy.
But he's fast.
That's yeah. We'll see it at the combine. We'll see. And we'll see it on tape, too, because you can kind of tell how fast these guys are on tape. But Harbor's a guy that I definitely think is going to be really one of the interesting guys who could make some big jumps if him and Lenore Sellers take some big strides there. Another one to look out for, you did bring up Berry and Brown. His teammate, Dave Key, the wide receiver out of – who was originally at Kentucky, now he's at Nebraska. Yeah,
Kentucky got hit with that portal.
Yeah, they got decimated by the portal there. Key is another interesting guy because I thought going into the year he could potentially be like a late day two, yeah, early day three guy. He ended up entering the portal right after the season. So now, I mean, he's going to be getting catching passes from Dylan Raiola. Does he take that step forward and end up being a guy that we look at as a good mid-round receiving option? And then another one to look out for. At my school, Florida Gators, J. Michael Sturdivant, the speedy receiver who transferred from UCLA. We have talked about him the last 2 years on the watch list. He has not been that productive. Last year I thought he was going to take the strides and be that guy. He did not. But now he's at Florida. And he's got one of the best young quarterbacks, probably the best non-draft eligible quarterback available in DJ Lagway. He won't be draft eligible until 27, but Lagway is a guy that really kind of changed the culture of Florida last year. And Lagway's gonna take some big steps forward this year. And it's going to be really nice for him to have someone like Sturdivant there. In addition to Eugene Wilson III, who was the best receiver they had, who wasn't Elijah Badger, at Florida last year.
Denzel Boston at Washington, this big 6'4 receiver as well.
Yes, yeah. Another big guy.
Mid-800s last year. We'll see. He would get over 1,000.
And another one, Casey Conception, wide receiver out of Texas A&M. I think he was a transfer from NC State. Conception was a five-star receiver, and you did hear a lot of hype about him, but he really wasn't super productive. Enter the portal. Is at A&M now, and I think a really, really interesting receiver option because he's got an opportunity to really boost his stock this year. And maybe he doesn't enter this year. He's draft eligible, but maybe he doesn't enter this year. But maybe next year he's looking at top receiver. Third receiver. Maybe in 27 he's looking at being the number three receiver behind J.J. Smith and Ryan Williams. So there's not a whole lot of locks, I think, right now. The only person I look at wide receiver wise, and I'm very certain they're going to be a first round pick, is Carnell Tate. Like, I think Tate's going to have a really strong year. Oh, outside of that, I
agree with you on that one. I think some pressure off you with Jeremiah there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, though, as you look at some of these other guys there, and there's a lot, there's some guys I think could play their way into first round. Nick Anderson out of Oklahoma is another one. Where, you know, he was thought to be the best receiver at Oklahoma.
John Mateer throwing to him.
Yeah, he got hurt. He was hurt for most of the year, so he really didn't play very much at all. But we had him on our watch list last year, and, you know, he's going to try to make a run this year and see if he can get to the first round. I think Nick Anderson has all the talent to be a first-round receiver. So, going to be really interesting to see what he does this year because – he could make himself a ton of money. I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about him a few times on Moneymakers this year because I don't think right now it's very concrete what we're going to see at the position. And because of that, him and Carnell Tate, I think, are the two guys that we could really look at. And, you know, if Nick sets the standard early on first couple weeks, I think we're going to lock him in round one. And at that point, it's, you know, whoever else. Because I don't think the Chiefs are going to receive a round one. I mean, I think if we're taking a guess at round one.
I wouldn't rule out tight end.
I wouldn't rule it out, but that's certainly not where I think they'll go. Especially because if you look at the history of round one tight end recently, it's not that good. Most of these guys who were taken round one at tight end, you look at like the last 10 years, a lot of these guys just aren't that good. So it's a high risk, high reward type situation.
We'll see how the line works out and see how Kingsley does a guard, because I mean, I can see guard and things like that. But
I wouldn't be
line,
shocked if they win.
They've got a lot
tackle,
of equity on
defensive
the
tackle
line.
Again.
They could do that. They could do that, but I just wouldn't rule out a high profile type tight end.
I mean, maybe, but it's not looking
first,
like
at
it's
the
not
end of the first round here. It's not going to be.
It's
high
not
quality.
Looking like that kind of tight end class.
Yeah. But I could definitely see him grabbing a running back in the fourth round.
Yeah, I could see running back day two, possibly, yeah. For sure. That's a definite possibility, depending on how things shake out. I mean, I think at this point now, I wouldn't sleep on right tackle for development. I would not sleep on running back for sure if the right guy was there. I definitely would not sleep on defensive tackle. If I were to put a leader right now in what the position will be round one next year's defensive tackle. Just
Jones getting up there.
Jones is getting up there, maybe playing his last year in 26 with the team. We'll see how he goes, how he is this year. You know, does he take a step down?
The only reason I tied in, like if you truly want to replace Kelsey, because, again, it's got to be early. It's got to be early. No one's going to be part of the equation in Wiley, but I'm just saying, let's not sleep on that because it's such a valued position.
Right, but the role that Kelsey plays is the role that Rashi's playing right
keep
now.
Keep in mind, Kelsey's third rounder.
Yeah. Like, my thing is just, like, Rashi is playing Kelsey's role in the offense. And so, at that point, it's like, you are drafting a position, but you don't need to replace the role because you have a replacement for the role. So, we'll get into more positions on the offensive side next week. Gonna fill out this watch list on the tight end side and on the offensive line side, because I do think there's some interesting options. We do have to answer the question, what happens if Kingsley Suamataia is not it at guard? That's going to be something we have to think about.
That's
for sure.
Guard becomes premium.
Right, and then what happens with right tackle? Because is Jalen Moore a long-term option at right tackle? Probably not. He's got one more year on his deal after this year, and for sure, I mean, I think we assume Jawan Taylor's playing his last year in Kansas City. So do the Chiefs go with the one-year stopgap in Jalen Moore and then have their right tackle the future waiting in the ranks to be that guy in 27? We'll see. But I think right now, just kind of how we're feeling, there isn't one position we're looking at and for sure they got to hit it. Maybe it's cornerback next year, too. That's another option as well.
Good, but speaking of corner, Noel got a little reps of the ones with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Noel Williams.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, there's a lot of options I think the Chiefs will have, but that's the reason why we're here. We're definitely going to continue to give you these previews of players to watch out for, throw on your watch list, and also – we're going to keep giving you the best training camp analysis of these young players coming into the roster and let you know what we think the Chiefs are going to do with their depth chart going into week one, because I think it's a very important time because they're still very, very young and they are looking like you're looking at, I think, at least two of these guys from this year's class playing a prominent role very early.
What is this? Is this our fourth draft?
This will be our fourth draft.
Kansas City.
This will be our fourth draft.
Green Bay.
Yeah, this will be our fourth draft. So
we can watch the Steelers draft the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you think so? You think this would be the year they'd finally make that choice?
12 picks, you know.
And you know what? This year might actually end up working really well for them because, like I said, I think there's at least three first round quarterbacks. There could be up to six.
They have the capital to move.
Yeah, and they do have the capital to move. And, you know, maybe they have Aaron Rodgers on their team. Maybe they're a disaster like the Jets were last year and they actually pick them pretty high and they don't have to maneuver around again.
I think they'll be pretty decent this year. We'll
I think it'll be all right. I think they'll probably be like a 9-8 football team.
DK Metcalf coming over is huge.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers coming over is not as huge as I think people think it is. So, but yeah, if you want to have the best draft coverage, make sure you download, subscribe. Give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We appreciate the support. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.